Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/FREE.
Hi, this is Tim Ferriss, author of The 4-Hour Workweek, 4-Hour Body, and 4-Hour Chef, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's Thursday, which means I'm riding solo today, and I'm thinking about you. Whatever you're doing, you could be washing up right now or driving your car. Some of you are walking your dogs. I know that because I hear from a lot of you who walk your dogs and listen to the show, or a lot of you on those long commutes. And my heart goes out to you commuters. I know that to do this every single day, the only benefit of commuting is if you really have time, like your car becomes a university, and that you can listen to great things and great people and keep, you know, that mind full. And so that, you know, so my heart goes out to you because I know how stressful that must be. And some of you, I know Barb Newman over there in Ontario, I know you're driving sometimes an hour and a half, and there's people who drive two and a half hours each way. So anyway, I'm glad to sit in the car with you today, and I'm dedicating this show to all of our commuters, those people who commute in their cars, and instead of letting the road rage rise up inside of them, they spend that time like a university and keep growing themselves. And hopefully, all of you commuters, you are involved in some form of additional or part-time job where you're growing your fortune, and you're not going to be stuck doing the same thing. Because obviously, I know the commute is so hard on most people. I've never heard a commuter yet that says, you know, I commute 2 hours a day and I absolutely love it. There may be a couple of you out there, and anyway, so I know sometimes it's necessity. I know in Barb's case, you know, her husband works in one part of the, you know, province, and she works in another part, and it just happens to be a couple of hours apart. And so, you know, it's always a compromise, right? So anyway, this goes out to all of you guys. And, you know, the one thing that happened to me, I always talk about personal range, is that we're always trying to expand ourselves into new areas. And as a kick-ass life practitioner, you know, we should always be willing to open new doors. And I remember there was a time where I really disliked country music. I disliked it. And then one day I bought a country and western saloon. I had a bar in a country and western bar, and I had a fun dining restaurant. So it was, we used to have all of the lawyers and doctors and business people of the town would come on one side of our property. It's a 5,000 square foot restaurant. And all of the, you know, the guys that worked out on the cattle ranches and the feedlots and real cowboys. I mean, these guys, you could smell them coming for about, you know, 400 yards, but they were the salt of the earth. I mean, we love these guys. And in fact, I'd go riding with them sometimes, and we have some funny stories about that. But, you know, what happened was when I first went in there, I never really opened that door in my mind, in my heart about, you know, country music. I just had this concept of what I thought it was about. And then, you know, as I owned the restaurant, and we used to have country bands coming in every single weekend, and it was remarkable how I fell in love with it. And not that I listen to a lot of country music now, but I certainly appreciate it, and I appreciate the culture of a country and western saloon and country and western bar. And I'll tell you about that afterwards. But because this particular show is dedicated to our commuters who are commuting somewhere right now to work as they're listening to this, I'm coming along with you. I want to play you a little Rascal Flatts.
In love or so, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the guard.
garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Oh yeah, baby.
If you're going my way, well, I wanna drive it
all night long. Woo! Hey, there you are, driving that car. Hey, listen, if you're in a traffic jam right now, I know it sucks. Smile at some people around you. Just look around and smile at some people. Wave. See how many people you can have contact with. I'm telling you, I used to drive cars professionally for a living when I lived in the United States. I worked for a driveway company out of Boston. And the guys there used to give me latitude to take my cars on these really extended trips because I used to keep the cost down a lot because I'd hitchhike and, you know, I just used to stay in people's homes, so I didn't use hotels. So they let me keep the car for a few days and go traveling around the United States. And I can't tell you how many times I slept in someone's house who I met driving along the road. And I was thinking about a trip through South Dakota one time. And, and I was going past this girl, you know, I drive past her, she drive past me. I don't know if you know those roads, but I mean, you guys are out of the country. You know, we're talking about, 300, 400, 500 miles, 1,000 miles, 2,000 miles of straight road, right? And interesting landscape. But how many times in this particular case, you know, I'd go by, she'd go by, then I'd smile. And this happened to guys, too. It didn't happen just with girls, you know. But this particular case, an hour, we pulled over and started chatting. And she told me she was going home for a reunion. And I told her my story, and she said, well, I said, if you want to come up and stay, when you come up, stay at the house, right? So I met her parents. I never saw her the whole time I was there. She went off and met with her friends. I ended up going 4x4 quadding with her parents the next day, and I had an absolute blast. And, you know, I always say again, you know, where does it start? Where do relationships really start? It starts with the courage to look out of that window. You people, you highway drivers right now. And make some connection. And, you know, it's just a smile here and a smile there. I'm not saying you're going to be going home for dinner with these people, but you never know, do you? You'll never know unless you actually do something about it. So anyway, so going back to this sort of this idea with, country and Western music, what I found was with culturally within the bars, you know, because, you know, I've been to conventional bars where, you know, it was all about look. And so, you know, good looking people went out with good looking people, and funny looking people like me went out with funny looking people. but you know, there was this thing, right, that normally happened. But in a country Western bar, what I noticed with the culture was if you were a great dancer, you could dance with anyone. Didn't matter. You could have a, you know, you could be 2 feet high with a hump. It didn't matter. You know, you could be dancing with the most beautiful girl or beautiful guy in the bar because you were a great dancer. And that's something I really appreciated about that sort of country and Western culture. And of course, in their songs, there's always a story. There's this this great story that exists within their songs, which I really, really like. And, you know, and but again, I don't listen to a lot of country music, but I do now understand that there's a place in my range for country music. And there's certainly a place in my range when I go to a country and Western bar and everyone's dancing. And the ability to dance with people and just have fun without that whole sex thing being in the background. Not saying it doesn't happen in country bars because it does, but it's just different. It's really about the music and the dance. And anyway, so I've got to say a little call out to all these country lovers, country singing lovers. So thanks to you for all what you bring. And here's another song for you. Anyway, I was going to talk about country music today. I just had this sort of feeling about when I started listening to some country songs this morning. And, I just want to, I suppose, really talk about some other stuff. There is a song that Tim McGraw, he sings, and I'm going to pull it up in a second. But, you know, I was thinking this morning about, you know, what do I really want to talk about today? You know, we've got 30 minutes to chat, and let me look at my clock right now. We have six of those already gone. Look at that. It's as quickly as all that. But, you know, the idea that one day we could get that call, because, I mean, this is very pertinent in my life. A friend of mine is now in a sort of a huge battle with cancer. And, you know, this has been very, very invasive and really taken over a lot of his body already. So the prognosis is not strong, you know. But I'm not saying, hey, you know what? Hey, lots of things have happened. I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things in this situation. But it really got me thinking again about the importance of this show, what the show is really about. And sort of if I get down to the roots of what I feel about this and why I'm so dedicated and I feel so drawn to this work. And people say to me now, well, you know, what's one of the favorite things you do? And I just love doing the show. I love the fact that it, you know, it's there all the time. It challenges me to think, and it challenges me to reach out, and it challenges me to have great conversations, and it challenges me to really think about my own philosophies and how I live them and whether I'm living them authentically. And, you know, so, you know, as I teach is what I'm learning myself and what I've, you know, how I live. You know, but there's, I remember recently my buddy Mike, who I've talked about a lot on the show, you know, he had this scare, and it was interesting to have that call, because I've had this call from a number of friends who have been given the news that they have cancer, and now one in three people. So, you know, it's just crazy for us to think it's not going to happen to us. It's crazy for us to not take some form of precautions and really be aware of you know, how we live and what we put in our body and how toxic the world's become. And I should do a whole show on that, because I'm a real believer. I personally cleanse quite often, and not one of those poopy cleanses or sticking things up my bum cleanse. But, you know, I have a product I use, which I absolutely love. And, you know, I've been cleansing now for 7 odd years. But, you know, just sort of taking precautions, putting supplements in my body that I know are the best in the world and that kind of thing, I just think is one of those things that, you know, it's only in those last minutes when we have these calls, when we not saying that we can protect ourselves completely, but certainly we can live a lifestyle that can help us, right? As opposed to live a lifestyle that can exasperate these problems. But so Mike gets this sort of scare. He's got blood coming out of his urine, and so, you know, I mean, the prognosis at that point is all the indicators are that this is a cancer and it's not looking good. And so we have this conversation, and it's interesting when you're in that situation, what comes out of your mouth? I mean, this is one of my closest friends, and he just heard the news. He's down in the dumps a little bit, right? I mean, he's scared. There's all these things going on in his life. And I remember clearly the conversation. And I know he listens to the show, and his wife, Donna. Hi, Donna. I know you listen a lot. You know, so these people are listening. It's not like I'm telling the story and he's sort of adding salt to it and making it a little spicier. This is just what happened, you know. And so as we're talking, one of my initial questions was, so now what? So what's it going to be like, whether it's the worst possible news and there's only a matter of weeks or months, or whether, you know, you fight it and you beat it, what's your attitude going to be now? You know, how are you going to decide in this moment to fight it? How are you going to live in this moment as if you were dying and absolutely fully live and embrace every second you have left? I mean, that was the conversation we had, is that we made a decision on the phone that day together as friends that he was going to, whatever happened, whether it was a few hours or a few weeks or a few months or a few years or the rest of his life, you know, a long living life, is that he would grasp this thing by two fists, and just start to really live. And this is you know, that Tim McGraw song that I've actually used it in one of my programs, Beyond Courage, to evoke in people that thought process. Is that, and I think this is the key. I mean, people say, you know, are you afraid of dying? I say, no, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm certainly not. I am not afraid of dying at all, not even a tiny piece. What I'm afraid of is not truly living my life and discovering, you know, that sort of that something, that deep understanding of fulfilling and living some form of purpose. And I know purpose can sound so big and grand to some people, but purpose doesn't have to be that. You know, I mean, raising a child can be purposeful. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this big thing. But feeling fulfilled, feeling you having the sense deep inside that you're living your life's purpose. And that means you have to make tough choices. That means you have to, you know, you sometimes you have to walk away from good to discover great. That means sometimes you have to have the courage to step into the unknown, the courage to let go of the things that are helping you play small. And certainly I think that if we live our life as if this was our last day, then everything would change, all right? Well, I'll play this song first, and then we'll talk about it.
When a moment came that stopped me on a dime, I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
You know, to love sweeter, talk sweeter, to love deeper, to give forgiveness. You know, it's simple stuff, right? I got a little emotional even thinking about it, you know. You know, it's interesting. You know, even my dad, he just had part of his colon removed, you know, with cancer. And anyway, so, you know, but it was interesting to watch, you know, as he's going through chemo right now. And, I mean, he's an old bulldog, right? He's just, you know, he's back on his feet and he's kicking this thing in the ass. And he's just like, you know, he's got 6 months of chemo and they took a part of his colon out. But, you know, I mean, he sounded for the first time since I've spoke to him. And you have to understand, my dad and I really became friends when he was about 65. I mean, I never really knew him very much throughout my whole life. But, you know, he's a terrific guy. And we really are good friends, right? So it's like to listen to him for the first time sound defeated for a moment. And it was really one day, you know. I mean, obviously, he'd just come out of surgery and he was like, you know, he sounded that way. But to phone him a week later and then listen to him back to his normal self and just like not focusing at all on what's going on, just focusing on, like, right now he's in a car driving to England from Germany for a wedding, and he's in the middle of chemo. And he's like, you know, here we are, you know, the family have been chatting to him a lot, and I've been talking to him as much as I can, and, you know, but it's just that kind of different attitude, right? It's an attitude of, hey, I'm going to get busy freaking living, and I'm going to kick the ass out of this thing, right? And I'm not in it, so it's easy for me to talk about it, but, I mean, I have a lot of experience right now, like my friend who's in it, you know, and I know that the severity of that. But what I suppose what I'm most interested in is us, the preparation, okay, the preparation for the call, if it comes, you know, I mean, that we fulfill, it's not that regret that's going to happen, that's going to happen with us. As it happens, oh my God, I wish I had, because this is a chance right now. If you listen to this show right now, you have the chance. You have the chance right now to live like you're dying, is to embrace every moment of this day right now. Like whether you're smiling out and connecting with people from your car, or your commute, or in the office, just sort of noticing people and reaching out and giving them a hug and, you know, being extraordinary in the moment with people. I mean, I always find that, you know, because I am a hugger, right? So I walk up to anyone, I don't care. They put their hand out to me and I'm going to give them a hug. And initially it's always a shock especially people who don't hug, or especially in business situations. I love it in business situations where it's not expected. And I was with the CEO of a very, very large company the other day. You know, I'm talking about a multi-billion-dollar company. you know, and I give him a hug and I give him a kiss on the cheek. I really like this guy a lot, right? You know, and he's, he chuckled as I kissed him. But the truth is, I love this guy, right? And so why wouldn't I? I mean, and a kiss on the cheek, I kiss all my men friends on the cheeks and a few of them on the lips. But, you know, I just think that expression of beauty in the moment, right, is something that we can all do, but we get so freaking busy. And it's only in the moments when we're challenged with the call that often we start to consider, okay, well, what's going to be different now? You got a week to live, what's going to be different? So why can't we embrace that? Why can't we embrace that mentality now, in this second, whether you're 16 listening to the show, or whether you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 in perfect health, or, you know, crappy health? And the people in crappy health, I mean, guys, you got to wake up a little bit. Because, I mean, again, when we take 100% responsibility for our health, and I mean, I was in the airport the other day, 2 days ago, and there was a lady sitting there. And again, this is not a judgment against people who carry a lot of weight. It's not a judgment at all. I mean, but it's a question of wanting to help somebody step into something greater, because there are answers. You know, I mean, I know that personally, the company I work with quite often, you know, they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have lost 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds, even 400 pounds safely. They look fantastic. And I've watched people, I've helped so many people transition from being obese to discovering their new bodies. And then there's that piece in the middle where you sort of got a skinny body but a fat head. You know, so now you're thin, but you still feel fat. You still have all of the insecurities around why, you know, you put that guard up around you. And so, you know, the idea, though, is that it's still a choice. So whether you're unhealthy, and maybe it's not obesity, maybe it's something else, maybe it's just, you know, you're sedentary, you know, you're just sitting around. And I've seen that, again, in my family right now. You know, my mother's husband, you know, just gave up on living. But what I watch is my mom every day going down to this hospital to see him. And he gave up like 2.5 years ago. And because what happened was he lost a leg through diabetes, right? And so he loses his leg. And yet I have other friends of mine, 72-year-old Biddy, and she's passed away now. But when she lost her leg, you know, it became the greatest thing in her life. You know, she just got a prosthetic leg and she started dancing. And she started, again, it's always this moment of choice. The choice is shit's going to happen. And in that moment, the shit happens. We have a choice. We have a choice. What are we going to do about it? But I would rather you don't wait. I would rather you start thinking today as you're listening to the show, and you can hear the passion in me. It's, you know, when I saw that woman in the airport, her son next to her, who's like, he looked like he was 7. You know, and she was so unhealthy and she felt so unhappy. You know, and I wanted to go over there and shake her and say, goodness. And now, hey, listen, I could have cuddled her the same way if that was going to have the effect. But almost sometimes you almost want the shock. If you're listening right now and you're looking at yourself and you're not happy, then do something today. Make the shift today. And typically there has to be, there's always an answer. And by the way, dieting is not an answer. You know, that, I know that, because it never works. You know, people diet, they lose weight, they gain weight, blah, 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 blah. And because we've helped so many people in this arena, I do feel like I have some authority to talk about it, because I've watched so many people not only transform their physical bodies, but transform their wealth accordingly and then create the life of their dreams. You know, a friend of mine, Kim Olsen, she lost 132 pounds, right? And she looks and feels fantastic. When I met her, she had no courage. She wouldn't even stand up and tell her story to anyone. She put a ball cap over her eyes and bawl if you asked her even to speak to two people about it. You know, and I've seen her now stand in front of 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people and just be totally alive and passionate and really feeling purposeful about changing lives. That is transformation. That is transformation. Yeah, she's got her body back and she's running marathons now. What's beautiful with her story, though, is for 22 years, she never took a vacation with her family or her kids or her husband. And after, you know, 3 years, when she started transforming her life and her body, of course, her income transformed because she started hanging around better people. And guess what? She did 3 or 4 vacations in 1 year. That is a possibility. That, to me, is real. When I look at stories like that, that gets my juices flowing, because I'm saying, hey, you know, but we have to start with the responsibility piece. And the responsibility question that you got to look at right now is, hey, are you responsible for what's going on in your life? Are you the one? Are you seizing? If you're sitting in that car right now and you're in a commute that you hate, and every single day you get home and you're saying, you know, I hate that commute. What good is that? right? So the courage to say, screw it, you know, I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to jump out of this and do something else. Or guess what? I'm going to really love it. I'm going to make sure that those 4 hours are the greatest 4 hours of my life. I'm just going to start to really enjoy them by bringing the university in my car, by having that time to meditate and have peace, whatever it is, right? But there is always a choice. And I was talking to Jen yesterday and I said, you know what I've realized is that I don't have many negative thoughts. And I'm thinking, where does that come from? How do you grow up in such a world of negativity and darkness and, you know, so much abuse and all this kind of stuff that I grew up with in some of the worst conditions in what the Western kind of hemisphere and the Western kind of world, and no comparison to some of the other impoverished countries of the world, but certainly by a Western standard, you know, very few people live in a house that's condemned. Very few people have rats and, you know, their stuff being chewed up every day, you know, their bed having, you know, go to bed at night and it's covered in mouse and rat crap, you know, and only having three beds and no fridge. And, you know, it's just very few people in the Western world live in those kind of circumstances, in condemned buildings where people are dying and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't normally happen. You know, in the East End of London, when I was a kid, it was where we lived, right? So, you know, having that perspective, and you don't hear in my voice is, oh, poor me. I don't feel that way. I wouldn't go back and change that for a minute. I mean, because I believe that's allowed me to have perspective. And I think sometimes it's because we have the crappy stuff going on right now. When you get through it, if you take responsibility for it and you seize life by the horns and you decide to make it, you know, a new choice, and you start to, you know, to really you know, and this is interesting, you know, because I've had a lot of you who have asked me to help you sort of look at different ways that you could create a new wealth in your life. And it's interesting to see how different people react, right? So I give everyone the same few tasks. I say, look at this, look at this, look at this. Because I know now, having helped so many people through that, is there's very few vehicles that people are equipped for. So you have to put them into a vehicle that would allow them to change over time, because no one's going to change overnight. It's not going to happen. You're going to wake up tomorrow and be a completely different person. But you can wake up each day for the next 3 months and change one small thing. And as you change that one thing, everything will change. You hear this passion again today, you know, but when I give that those same challenges, you get two or three results. Some people stay stuck in their story and they simply have no capacity to change or no capacity to look at something new. Their old mind that's kept them broke, that's kept them unhappy, starts to answer the questions that I throw at them. And you hear them start to defend their position. You know, even though I say, look, you know what? And based on my experience, these are some steps you could take to really help. And there's other people, when you give them this chance, you say, oh, have you thought of this? And there's a pop. I know you're listening right now. You're down in Florida, you know, and Paula over in Edmonton, people who have ask the same questions and you give them the same set of things to do and they seize it with both hands and you watch the transition starting to happen in their life immediately. It's like bang, boom, you know. And others, people who are asking me, and they just get back into their story. Oh, yeah, this is the way I think. And oh, no. And so it doesn't matter. There's no change. And I'm not judging those people, by the way, because you know who you are. You're listening to the show. I know you are, right? But the truth is, when I give two, I mean, and that's what I'll typically do. I'll typically give people three or four small things to do and watch. If they get them done, guess what? They're ready. If they don't, they make excuses. And the most important thing is, well, how they respond. Are they going to look at a new thing with an open mind? Most people don't. They look at it with the same mind that got them in the shit in the first place. It's the same mind that keeps them in the job they don't like. It's the same mind that keeps them broke. It's the same mind that keeps them in a marriage that's not working. That's the mind that they look at a new opportunity with, and then they will justify it based on what? So somebody who's really happy and quite wealthy can come along and say, here, try this. This will work, but it's going to take some years. You know, it's going to take a new commitment. It's going to take, you know, surrounding yourself with new people. And yet the old mind will talk for them. And then they stay stuck. And 10 years from now, I'll be speaking to those same people. They're going to be stuck in the same hole, right? And until they stop listening to the monkey mind that got them there. And that's the beauty of really ignoring the mind, you know, and we have to ignore the mind. So anyway, lots to think about today. You know, I can see I'm pretty passionate about this stuff. But I tell you what, you know, I can't sort of get to our end of the show without playing a little bit more country music. I like this one. Let's listen to this one. Whoa. Wind down that highway to that hideaway. Stuck out in the woods to do the boot scootin' boogie. Boat scooting, yeah, baby. Whoa, Cadillac, blackjack, baby, meet me out back, we're gonna boogie. This is Brooks and Dunn, by the way. Whoa, get down, turn around, go to town. Boat scooting, boogie. Having a great day here. You know, that joke about the country record, right? You know, you play a country record backwards. You know, the car starts, the crop grows, the wife comes back. But the truth is, that's what I like about some of the lyrics. I mean, some are corny as old get-up, right? But there's lots of, you know, bad songs in all genres. But, you know, what I love about some of the words is it's just life, right? So, anyway, you know, I've really enjoyed today, and I hope you get the essence of this responsibility piece. You know, life is not going to change unless we take 100% responsibility for it. And then life won't change unless we have the courage to go after the things that seem impossible. But then realistic expectations, you know, I'm a big believer, you know, is that my life didn't change overnight. My life was a series of small choices and wrong choices. I made some wrong choices. And one thing I learned right now is I listen to happy rich people. You know, when a happy rich person gives me advice, I really, really listen. And I'm fortunate now to have a lot of very happy, very rich people in my life. But I didn't for many, many years. I was, you know, I'm surrounded by very broke, unhappy people. And broke, unhappy people have lots of advice. You know, they're going to tell you what's not working. And you guys, some of you that are broken and unhappy right now, you know, you're giving advice to yourself, and it ain't good stuff. And the best way to look at it is, what results are you getting? If you're getting the results you love, then listen to that advice. And it doesn't have to be about wealth. Money, I mean, I talk about wealth as well, because I think it's a birthright to be rich and happy. I don't think you have to have either or. You know, you can do both. And when with wealth comes great responsibility and great possibility for what you can do in the world. The good you can do in the world with wealth is remarkable. It's much harder. You can be really, really happy and really, really broke. You know, and when I met the Dalai Lama said this, you know, he said, you know, I was never into the whole book thing. And he says, now you see my face on all these books, you know, and you see me co-authoring books and all that kind of stuff, because I realize I can make a lot more money. Here's the Dalai Lama, right? And he says, because when I have that money, I can do so much more. He says, and he got it. This is the Dalai Lama who doesn't need money. He can go anywhere in the world and stay for free if he wanted to. But he started to use his brand, right, to create a greater income so he can impact greater good. So if you're still stuck in the mentality that you have to be one or the other, pull your head out of your ass and start to lead a kick-ass life. Here it is today, ladies and gentlemen. Not sure where this stuff comes from. Sometimes I wake up feeling this way. And again, my love and heart goes out to all of you dealing with anything. If you've got that news, you're in that call, you had the call. You know, our hearts go out to you, and my love goes out to you. And I know that, you know, you're going to discover the greatest part of yourself that's there. And again, I hope that we can be your companion along the way, and know that we're always going to be here together. And so, sending my love out to you guys, and thank you. We'll see you.
That was kick-ass.